From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Alyssa Block. Coconut cream pie and the now ubiquitous Joe the Plumber were mentioned on the presidential campaign trail today. Barack Obama held a rally in Roanoke, Virginia, where he told the story of a recent visit to a diner in Georgetown, Ohio. The owner is a diehard Republican. Obama said after he got his piece of coconut cream pie, he asked the owner, how's business?
He said, not so good. Said, my customers can't afford to eat out right now. I said, well, I'm just curious. Who's been running the economy for the last 8 years? He said, I guess the Republicans have. I said, if you just keep hitting your head against a wall over and over again, and it starts to hurt, at some point, do you stop hitting it against the wall? He said, I guess that would make sense. I said, you might want to try the Democrats for a change. We can't do any worse.
John McCain urged his supporters on at a rally in Miami, and he again referred to Joe, the plumber from Ohio who had asked Obama if he'd make him pay more in taxes.
Senator Obama says that he wanted to spread your wealth around. You know what? He could have had a simple answer to Joe's question. All he had to do to say to Joe the plumber and millions of small business people around this country, I won't raise your taxes. But he couldn't do that because he's going to raise their taxes. My friends, when politicians talk about taking your money and spreading it around, you better hold on to your wallet.
Well, hold on to your seats, because our political commentators, E.J. Dionne and David Brooks, are here to talk about the week in politics. Hey, guys, welcome back.
Good to be with
Thank you.
And, E.J., we have not heard the last of Joe Wurzelbacher, the plumber from Toledo.
No, I think we haven't, although I think he may disappear fairly soon because he doesn't seem to be doing McCain all that much good. I mean, it's clear there are four things John McCain needs to do to win this election. Unfortunately for him, nobody knows what they are. And so, therefore, his campaign has been lurching around from thing to thing. First, they tried Sarah Palin. That worked for about a week. Now she is not helping him at all. She's hurting him. Then he suspended his campaign, said, let's not do the debate. That didn't work. That kind of blew up in his face. Now Joe the plumber comes along, he's going to save him, and it turns out he's not even a licensed plumber. I think that the McCain campaign faces this huge wall, which is the economic mess that Obama referred to. It may not be the most inspiring slogan, vote Democratic, we can't do any worse, but that's what a lot of people believe. And I think that Obama himself has finally found a voice with this economic mess. And it's hard to see how McCain climbs out of the hole he's in.
Well, David Brooks, let's talk about that hole. John McCain there in Miami telling his supporters 18 days to go, we're 6 points down. National media has written us off. And then he said, we've got them right where we want them. If you look at the electoral map, how does he get to 270 to win the presidency?
That beats me. He could be 12 points down. Then they'd really have him where they want him. You know, what I think the argument he should use, which he hasn't used so far and mysteriously, is that you want a divided government. The Democrats are going to pick up seats in the House and the Senate. They're going to go overboard. You need me. But fundamentally, I don't think he can shift strategy again. He's shifted so much, the erratic charge will really begin to stick. I think the decision of the McCain campaign was made about a year ago. They had some advisors, guys named Mike Murphy and John Weaver, who wanted him to run a non-traditional Republican campaign. Those advisors were ousted, and now he's running a traditional tax cut Republican campaign. Wrong year to do that.
Strategically, David, some Republicans are saying, look, take your resources out of Iowa, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Focus on a couple of states that you could conceivably still get. Focus on, say, Virginia, North Carolina. Would that be a strategy that they should follow?
You know, I don't think ads really work at a presidential level. I saw a report the other day that in Northern Virginia, Obama's running 1,400 ads and McCain had run 8. That's a pretty big advantage. But these guys are really well known. I don't think ads are really driving much here.
E.J., let's talk about the message in Virginia today. The Democratic Senator, Jim Webb, was introducing Barack Obama, and he said, you know, you can trust him. I trust him. This is in southwestern Virginia, part of the state that Obama's campaigning hard to get, addressing lingering doubts about this guy. And at the same time, we're now hearing about robocalls from the Republican Party and the McCain campaign to voters talking about Obama, quote, working closely with the domestic terrorist bill heirs. Are there still doubters who Obama could turn around or who McCain could turn around?
Well, there are still doubters because there are undecided voters.
Sure.
And that, you know, it's 2 weeks out. A week is an eternity in politics. So you cannot, should not declare a campaign over. But I think, again, the economy has taken a lot of voters who might have had doubts about Obama, some voters who might have had qualms, white voters, about voting for an African-American. I was talking to Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio, represents Youngstown area, and he said, look, a lot of voters who may have racial feelings, white voters, are now way beyond that because of the economy. And McCain is in a catch-22. He needs to raise doubts about Obama. However, every time he attacks, it's now increasing his negative rating in the voters. So he's in this bind, and he's having trouble getting out of it.
David Brooks, you have a sort of personality profile in the New York Times today talking about Barack Obama, and you mentioned it's easy to sketch out a scenario in which he could be a great president. But there's also a flip side to that, you point out.
Well, he's so calm, and he's so thoughtful. And the great president scenario is that he really doesn't – he doesn't have demons that are going to destroy him. He gathers very smart people, which he's already done, and they really have long-term discussions and really govern the country the way we want it to be governed. I think the downside is that he is so passionless and has shown so little evidence in his past of really taking a courageous, tough decision when the decision is really tough to take, that he could become passive. And then he would just be ignored by the congressional Democrats, and he would float off on an island on his own. That really is the determining factor. In the election, though, his calmness, his reassuring presence has no doubt been a winner. His approval rating, he's got 21% more people who approve than disapprove of him, and that's the driving force behind this election.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks to you both for coming in. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the New York Times.